Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. I've been chairing a sermon series entitled Going Old School. And we've had a little fun looking at some of the old school things that we used to use or we used to have, and perhaps some of us thinking, man, it'd be good to resurrect some of those things, and others thinking, boy, it's just as well that they're put in the past and we don't use them anymore. We had fun kind of trying to discern whether we were cool or uncool based upon the things that we have now, and realizing that one day the things we have now that are cool may not be cool in the future. And so since school's starting, I kind of wanted to go along those same lines and look at some old school things that were actually used in school. Maybe some of you might remember those things. One of which is this. Maybe you can see it. It's the overhead projector. Anybody remember the overhead projector? Yeah, this is old school LED, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not. How about scratch and sniff? Anybody remember scratch and sniff? I used to love the bubble gum smell, the root beer smell, but I hated it when the smell ran out. That was old school. If you were in school and you had an old box of crayons or just a regular box of crayons, you really weren't cool. But if you had this, you were cool. The 64-count box of crayons with a sharpener on the side, by the way. And, of course, if you didn't have periwinkle, you really weren't cool either. So how many of you, remember this? You may not be able to see it. It's the old card catalog. Anybody remember a card catalog? Kids today won't have a clue how to use something like this, an old card catalog. This is old school Google, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not. How many of you remember the cassette tape? Anybody remember that? This is how we used to make our mixtapes. We'd push play and record, and we'd set it by the radio, and we'd record our songs, and we'd get all the songs we want on there. This is kind of our old school iTunes or Spotify. Now, if you don't know what Spotify is, you are old school, so just wanted to let you know that right now. But when we're talking about old school things, this sermon series really isn't focusing so much on old school things as it is focusing on old school principles and truths, things that are timeless, that do not change, that are just as valid and applicable today as they were in the past. And so in the past few sermons, I've talked about asking questions like, whatever happened to the truth? Whatever happened to thank you? Last week I talked about whatever happened to the handshake? And this week I want to ask the question, whatever happened to yes, sir, and no, ma'am? Whatever happened to yes, sir, and no, ma'am? When I first went to school, my parents told me that I needed to rock my manners, that I needed to make sure to say, yes, Mrs. So-and-so to my teacher, or yes, Mr. So-and-so if I had a male teacher, or yes, coach, whatever his name might be. We were taught to really honor those who were over us in school. And certainly that carried over into other areas of life, like a judge would be called Your Honor. We would call a police officer, we wouldn't call him something like a pig or a cop or something like that. It was a police officer. We were taught really to show respect and honor to those who were over us in a sense. We were told to refer to our pastor or our priest as father or pastor. And so those sorts of things are things that really are kind of old school anymore. I know kids today that refer to their parents as by their first name. Now, I'm not trying to cause problems or issues if you happen to call your parent by their first name, but certainly old school ways teach that we honor our parents by calling them mom or dad or mother or father. If I were to talk to my dad calling by my first name, I'd say, "Hey, Gene." I'd probably say my next sentence from the floor when I would be asking, "Lord, who would you help me to get up from the floor?" So old school things are sometimes they're good, sometimes they're maybe not so good. When we talk about yes, sir, and no, ma'am, we're really talking about things that are related to, not just talking about things that are related to etiquette. If that's the case, if it's just etiquette, then we just as well throw it out and not worry about it. When you go to other countries, for example, you have to be careful some of the things that you say and do because you may make a faux pas and do something that offends someone else. And certainly in our culture, We have a culture that really doesn't, you don't hear as much anymore, yes ma'am, or no sir, or things like that. And in a sense, if it's just cultural, then we can just as well do away with those things. But I'm concerned with the heart, because God is concerned with the heart. What is at the heart of these words, yes sir and no ma'am? We need to really hold on to these things if they really contain some biblical truths. Truths that are timeless, in a sense. If those are the cases, then we need to hang on to things like that, which reflect those divine truths. Turn, if you will, to our second lesson today from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It's on page 1761 in the Pew Bibles. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And Paul is giving instructions to the church in Rome. And he's telling them things about how they should behave, how they should treat one another, and how they should get along, that sort of thing. And he says this in verse 10 of Romans chapter 12. He says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself." Honor one another above yourselves. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. I like the way the English Standard Version puts it. It says this: love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. I like that. I'm a competitive person. I like to outdo people. And so I kind of carry that on into my family. And as kids, I taught my kids how to play Go Fish. And I wanted to win so much that there are occasions in which they asked me if I had a card, and if I had it, I was supposed to give it to them. If I didn't have it, I'd say, "Go fish." But I didn't want to give it to them, so I just said, "Go fish." And later on, they said, they found out I had the card. "Dad, you're supposed to give us the card when you have it. You're not supposed to just say, 'Go fish.'" Well, I was competitive, you know, and I wanted to win those games. And I taught my kids how to thumb wrestle. Anybody thumb wrestled before? Anybody done that? Well, you know, I taught them the next night. They said, let's thumb wrestle. I said, "You're going to lose. You know, I don't believe in giving out trophies just for participation." So I said, "You're going to lose." And so I'd squash their little thumbs and I'd say, "Yay me, I'm the winner, hoo-hoo." And so it's easy to be competitive. It's easy to like to dominate, to be a winner. And there's nothing wrong with being a winner. But when it comes to talking about the heart, perhaps we might want to remember biblical principles which remind us the importance of showing honor to one another. Why do we have so much trouble showing honor? Well, sometimes perhaps it's because we want to be authentic. We don't want to be disingenuous. We don't want to come across as a people pleaser. And so it's easy for us to not try to honor someone because of that. But how do we lose this idea of showing honor to another person? I had clergy friends in California that used to refer to our bishop as Victor by his first name. And I thought that was kind of disrespectful and really not honoring the bishop. And in reality, those guys that did that really didn't have much respect or honor for the bishop. And so they would just call him Victor instead of Bishop Rivera. One of the reasons we have trouble showing honor to people is because perhaps we've been hurt by someone in authority in the past. Maybe we've had parents that did not use their authority in the right way. And thus we are tempted to throw out honor with that. Maybe we've had a boss who has not treated us well in the past, and as a result, we just want to discard honoring someone altogether, when in reality, it really is the individual who is not using their authority in the right way, and thus garnering the honor from us that they deserve. And so honoring someone can be very difficult, especially if we've been hurt in the past. As a result, the enemy tries to get us to throw out the principle of honor. And as a result, he cuts us off from many of the blessings that come along with honoring another person. Some of you may remember the story of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph had a dream, and that dream was that that his brothers would one day come and bow down to him. And so he made the mistake of telling his brothers that dream. And they got very angry and upset with him. And when they told him that dream, they began to plot against him. And so one day they took him out and they threw him into a cistern, which is a container for water. And they were going to kill him. But one of the brothers persuaded him not to kill him, but to, in fact to sell him to some merchants that were coming down the road toward Egypt. And so they sold Joseph into slavery with these merchants, who then took him down and put him in Potiphar's care, if you will. And so he was put in prison down in under the Pharaoh in Egypt. And so as a result, he began to do things to help the people of Egypt and to help the guards and others. And he began to grow in his respect and honor among the Egyptians, so much so that they let him out of prison, and he began to rise in the ranks of the Egyptians to the point where he was put in charge of all of the food of Egypt. And so at that time, the brothers and the father of Joseph were going through a very bad famine in Canaan. And so his father said to send the brothers down to get some food from the Egyptians. Now, they didn't know that Joseph was still alive. They didn't know where he was. And so when they got down there, they didn't recognize him, but Joseph recognized them. And instead of trying to get even with them, trying to punish them for what they had done, instead of trying to humiliate them, instead he began to treat them with honor. And the Egyptians saw that, and they ended up giving these brothers all of the food that they could take back with them to their father in Canaan. Joseph was honored because he honored his brothers. He sought to reconcile with them and to forgive them instead of seeking to get revenge or whatever. And as a result of him doing that, he became honored even more among the Egyptians and honored among his brothers and his family. There are great blessings that go along with honoring others when we really get that message. Proverbs 15:33 says, "Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor." In order for us to truly honor someone, we have to be humble. We have to recognize our position, our status in this world. And the only way we can really do that is to recognize who God is and what God has done for us. We realize how much grace God has given to us, then we can do nothing but be humble before Him and before others. When we have that humility, when we have that humbleness before others, then we are able to then treat them with the respect and the honor that they are due. In order for us to really honor others, we have to first learn how to honor God. And we do that by learning more about who God is and reminding ourselves of what God has done for us. Even if we can't think of anything else that God has done for us, reminding us that He has honored us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sins. Even though we didn't do anything to deserve it, even though we didn't do anything to receive that honor, God did that for us. There are other ways that we can honor God as well. One of the ways that we can honor God is through our offerings. In fact, Psalm 96, verse 8 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the honor due His name. Bring offerings and come into His courts." And so one of the ways that we can honor God is through our offerings. We can only honor God through our offerings when we realize that everything that we have comes from God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says this, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have given me this wealth.' But remember, it is the Lord your God who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors as it is today." When we recognize that all that we have has been given to us by the ability God has given for us to acquire it, then we can do nothing else but be humble before God and to honor Him for the things that He has allowed us to have. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord by giving Him your money and the first part of all of your crops." Now, this is where we get the idea of giving a tenth of all that we have, the first fruits of all that we have. And we do that to honor God, not because God needs it or because the church needs it. We give that because we honor God through our tithes and offerings. And as we do that, we really are showing the honor that we have to God by giving back a portion of what He has given to us. We're also told in the Bible to honor other people. For example, we're told to honor government officials. In Romans chapter 13, verse 6, it says, "You must also pay your taxes. The authorities are God's servants, and it is their duty to take care of these matters." Pay all that you owe, whether it is taxes or fees or respect or honor. We are to honor those who are elected officials, even though they may not be worthy of honor. We're to honor them in the sense of following and obeying the laws. We're to honor them in terms of speaking as respectfully as we can about them. That doesn't mean we can't try to vote them out at the ballot box or participate in the election process. We should certainly do that. But ultimately, the Bible says that God has put them in place. So what we should be doing is praying for our elected officials that they begin to do the things that God wants them to do. Make the decisions that are going to be beneficial to the people over whom they are put in charge. The Bible also says that we are to honor our father and mother. This may be difficult for some who had parents that were not really doing things that were worthy of honor, that mistreated perhaps you and your family. And so as a result, it's very difficult to feel like honoring a father and mother. And yet the Scripture tells us to do that. And we honor them by recognizing the position that God has put them in over our lives. And we honor them by treating them with the respect and dignity that human beings deserve. And sometimes when we do that, that can actually change their attitude toward us and toward others. Now, if your parents are no longer living, perhaps it's not quite as easy to honor them, but perhaps honoring them in the sense of recognizing that God has given them to you as parents over you. Leviticus chapter 19 says that we are to show honor to the elderly. Now, it's getting easier and easier for me to show honor to the elderly as I get older and older, don't you know? But we're told to respect the elderly in the sense that there is so much that we can learn from those who are older than us. There's so much wisdom that we can gain from picking their brains. Have you ever sat down with someone that's older than you and really kind of found out some of the things that they've learned in their life, some of the things that has really helped them in their life? Those sort of things can be really valuable to us as individuals. So honor those who are over you in age. In reality, the Bible calls us to honor all people. Not just individual groups of people, but honor all people. And as we do that, the Bible talks about honoring, meaning to esteem, to value, or to respect. To honor someone is to value him or her highly, and to bestow value upon him or her. As the Bible says, honor them above ourselves. One of the movies I really enjoyed seeing recently was Hacksaw Ridge. Some of you may have seen that. It's about a conscientious objector who wanted to still honor his country and honor his position in the country by serving in the military. And he fought to be able to be accepted into the army, even though he didn't want to use a rifle to kill anyone. And he was horribly mistreated at first by his fellow soldiers. And yet he continued to try to treat them with honor and with respect. Until ultimately they got into a giant battle. And he ended up saving the lives of many of those same men who had made fun of him and who had mistreated him because he honored his service to the country and he honored them as his fellow soldiers. And so he ended up receiving great honor himself, even though he didn't fire a shot in all the war. Honor is something that can be of great value as we seek to honor those that we know. Seek to honor those who may not always be worthy of honor. And as we do so, perhaps we will lift them up and make them better people themselves. God wants us to honor all people. So let's pray and ask God for his help in doing that. Lord, we ask that you would help us to honor those around us, even when they don't seem to deserve that honor. Lord, perhaps looking for ways that we can honor them in ways that might change their attitudes or perhaps might even make a difference in their life. Lord, would you help us to remember that you honored us by coming into this world and dying on a cross for us before we even did anything to deserve it. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to place honor upon us. Lord, help us to give back honor to you. From the things that we do, from the way that we give to ourselves to you and to others. And as we honor you, Lord, would you allow your blessings to flow into our lives so that we can then be a blessing to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.